this year has seen an extraordinary increase in the number of Chinese companies acquiring the top ranks of Amazon sellers. As of January, 75% of new sellers on the platform originate from China. And now every 1/50th of a second, a new Amazon listing is uploaded by a Chinese vendor. What does this mean for Amazon, Bezos, and the world of online retail? I'm Gareth Martin, and this is How to Be an E-Commerceer. Hello and welcome back to the E-Commerceer podcast, brought to you by TradeBridge. I'm joined in the studio today by TradeBridge's CEO and co-founder, Mark Coxhead. To set the scene, it begins with Chinese conglomerates acquiring the top ranks of Amazon sellers en masse. Stories continue to emerge of fake reviews and black hack tactics. The Wall Street Journal reported that the US have uncovered over 10,000 non-compliant Amazon listings, including unapproved or prohibited products unsuitable to the US market, all delivered by Chinese vendors. The story continued with Amazon's swift move to clamp down on these vendors. The stories escalated to reports of principal Amazon seller Shenzhen Yukishu Technology having $20 million in funds frozen and roughly 340 stores closed. The first insight I wanted to get from Mark was why this was happening and what it all meant for the e-commerceer.
It's fascinating that to understand the dynamics that sit behind it, because the sums of money they're talking about are huge. So if someone's going to spend, let's say, $1 billion acquiring online sellers, presumably that's because they think they can sell it to somebody else for $3 billion or $4 billion, whether that's via a stock market listing or to another PE fund. So you have to ask yourself the question is, where do they see that value? It's certainly not because online sellers have some kind of unique access to materials from suppliers in the Far East. That's the easy part of the model to replicate. The hard part of the model to replicate is those intangible assets, whether that's the networks of influence, the bona fide reviews, the repeat purchases from happy customers. You know, all that stuff successful sellers work so hard on, that's the real value in a lot of those businesses.
An intriguing prospect. The next question I wanted to ask Mark was, where does that leave the e-commerceer? Does this somehow gamify the creation of the goodwill and advocacy that the Chinese conglomerates are seeking to buy? Will the business model for the e-commerceer simply become to grow this advocacy to then ultimately sell their business to a Chinese conglomerate and start all over again?
It was, you know, the apocryphal business model of developing a soft drink of any description, getting it in enough fridges to annoy Coca-Cola or Pepsi, and then getting bought out by Coca-Cola and Pepsi. So I guess it's not a new approach to business, but certainly in the kind of traditional retail model, your choice would have been limited to working for different mainstream retailers and building their brands. In fact, in the online world, in the new disrupted economy, you can repeatedly use those skills to build your own brand, build a value business and sell it off exactly as you've suggested, Gareth. It's really a powerful business case, and probably it's never been easier to do in a sense of, not that it's easy to do, it's never been more possible to do, let's say, if you have the skills and you have that kind of touch.
It's surely an exciting prospect for the online seller. I asked Mark what the implications were for TradeBridge as a funder of e-commerceers and young entrepreneurial leaders.
I think there's two things, really. One, the nice thing about the story in the FT regarding the kind of these big funds that are acquiring businesses is it really validates what we've believed for a long time, and that is you can't value a modern retail business based on the kind of assets you'll see sitting on the balance sheet. The value in a online retail business is in all the things that we used to call as financiers intangibles and put a big red mark through. You know, those intangibles are now the value of the business. You know, the rest of it, the warehouse, the stock, is really the minor part of it. That's the part we put the red pen through to some extent.
So in a digital age where goodwill can be so quantifiable so quickly and the analytica around hot products and when to sell them is just so readily available, I wanted to ask Mark whether it was a risk that an e-commerce industry that was once so vibrant and personal could become formulaic and bland, almost undermining the principles on which it was built. and the very reason behind all the escalating Chinese acquisitions in the first place.
You always have to remember is there's still an element of magic there. And that magic comes from the entrepreneur, the founder, who has the feel for his or her product, who has the feel for the market, who has the feel for how things work on Amazon and how, and probably, to be honest, has a bit of luck, you know, with the right thing at the right time. One of the more difficult areas to fund can be the Etsy, not on the high street type model, because those craft-driven online businesses can have an absolute hit one year. And that's no guarantee that when the next Christmas rolls around, they will have another hit, because by the time the next Christmas rolls around, there'll be 1,000 people copying your bright idea. It's the art and the science of online commerce come together very strongly.
To seize the moment to grow your online business, visit www.woodsfordtradebridge.com/e-commerce funding. You can download the E-Commerce Here podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcast. With special thanks to Mark Coxhead and the team at Tradebridge. Join us again next time. I'm Gareth Martin. Thank you for listening.